This is the Thursday Morning Zine. I'm Tom Yoder. Conducting scientific research on public lands within the amazing natural and cultural landscapes of southeast Utah and southwestern Colorado can be difficult without adequate and sustained funding. The Discovery Pool Research Grant Program, established by the Canyonlands Natural History Association, works to encourage and provide funding for natural and cultural resource studies that can help us understand the value and fragility of the unique deserts, mountains, and canyons where we live and play here in the Four Corners area. With me this morning to talk about this program is Fred Blackburn. He's the chair of the Canyonlands Natural History Association. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Tom. I decided to come.
Oh, thank you. Fred was keeping me in suspense whether he was going to show up this morning. Let's talk about how this let's talk a little bit first about what kinds of projects the Discovery Pool Research Grant Program has funded in the past.
Well, the Discovery Pool really began in concept about 2006, so it's in its seventh year, and probably the biggest thing that we've learned is it's really difficult to give money away. So,
contrary to popular belief.
Yeah, no, it's really hard, and it's actually getting harder because the quality and the needs are becoming greater. We've funded, it's not limited to anything in the scientific world, which is pretty expansive. We've funded a lot of natural history programs, some that deal with the global warming we're not having, and going back and forth, especially in the tundra regions of the La Salle Mountains. And the grants were designed to help somebody who has no funding to get over that hurdle enough to where they can at least look at stuff. And when we first put this in place, we were concerned about the lack of pure science in our federal agencies. So we have funded things like PICA research, which is now kind of a big thing. We can see that that little animal doesn't really control its own temperatures, and so they appear to be suffering from the increased temperatures at higher elevations. Bighorn sheep monitoring, plants and overhangs, spruce tree changes right at the elevations where the tundra begins. And all of our partners, which I should say are the federal agencies of Forest Service, BLM, and National Park Service, and we can describe later what that means. A lot of these have been archaeological as well. Help with at Hovenwee, Goodman Point, rock art research, perishable materials. And this year, we just funded several paleontological programs that are finding basically some really unique and unusual dinosaur trackways and remnants in our area.
You mentioned earlier that the need for grants and funding like this is really greater than ever, that need is great. What's going on with that? Why is it becoming so much more crucial now?
Well, in 2006 and 2007, there was already a need for scientific research. The agencies really were not funding that, and it's based on the economics of the time. In this last granting round, we really had an issue because now funding projects for interpretation are gone, and so that fell within the outer realms of what we fund as far as pure scientific research, and we have a limited amount of funding in how we can do this. So what we really decided, what drove this, is that we wanted to create an equal playing ground because our monies that we generate come from bookstores and that kind of thing within the National Park, BLM, and Forest Service areas. But we also generate some money that is not considered aid monies back to these agencies. So this is in addition to that. It's monies we generate through our own book sales or various aspects that aren't directly funneled through a partner.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Thursday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. My guest this morning is Fred Blackburn. He's the chair of the Canyonlands Natural History Association. And this morning we're talking about Discovery Pool Research Grant Program and how it works to encourage and provide funding for natural and cultural resource studies in southeast Utah and southwestern Colorado. You were talking a little bit about the partnerships with federal agencies. Talk about how the funding mechanism works for this grant program.
Well, and we're still working it out, but it's pretty set right now. Generally, it can be an independent research. They do not have to be a federal employee, but they have to have that jurisdictional signature that says, yes, we are supporting this. The money can go to the individual under that support system, or it can go to the agency, but we made sure it didn't include a lot of administrative costs, that it has to go directly to the scientific research. Mm-hmm. So, and we have a minimum amount each year because we do provide aid. We're one of the highest aid returner organizations in the United States. Of course, we're not competing with Yosemite or some of those areas, but we do contribute a lot back to our partners besides the aid. So we're limited to pretty much around $30,000 to $35,000 a year that we can provide researchers.
And what kind of criteria are you using to select who receives these types of grants?
Well, the first criteria, like anything, is you've got to be able to fill out the grant form correctly. So, and we're being real sticklers with that because that really shows a person's given a lot of thought on that. And from that, sometimes on paper you don't get a real good feel for that. We will look through. We will select stuff that's unique, that has a great interpretive ability or educational component that is not part of the initial research but could very well go to you and I, and we can understand what we're reading and enjoy seeing what's being found out.
Well, you had mentioned some studies that had been done particularly on climate change and climate studies in high elevations around here, studies in the La Salle Mountains and then the PICA studies. Are you looking specifically for those types of things that you feel that the public is really wanting to know more about, more sort of newsworthy kind of studies?
Well, it's not. It's more based on need. I think the newsworthy part is maybe one component, but that's not our main drive. It's what can this information provide for management for the agencies, first of all. So if you're seeing a change in Engelmann spruce populations and they're dying off, or how does that trend look to the overall aspect of what you're looking at? The other part of this, of course, beyond that, is preservation issues. Laurie Webster's done a fabulous job of ferreting out textiles all over the United States that have never been studied, never been looked at. And these things have a half-life. And she's bringing forward all kinds of insights that nobody's thought about. And then we want to make that transferable to our website on the Discovery Pool, so that if somebody's interested in pica just because they're cute, which they are, then they can go through and see what the study's about. Or if they're interested in overhanging, wet overhang areas, what kind of plants are changing there, or in many cases, what's going on in archaeology. We try to look for new ideas. A lot of the rock artwork has been photography of a different sort that's bringing out images behind the images and just providing insights and new information that can then help expand what visitors see when they go to the parks or to public lands, period.
You are listening to the Thursday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning we're talking about the Discovery Pool Research Grant Program, which works to encourage and provide funding for natural and cultural resource studies here in the Four Corners area. My guest is Fred Blackburn. He's the chair of the Canyonlands Natural History Association, who administers that grant program. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. We're back. This is the Thursday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder, and my guest this morning is Fred Blackburn. He's the chair of the Canyonlands Natural History Association. This morning, we're talking about the Discovery Pool Research Grant Program, which helps fund scientific studies in southeastern Utah and southwestern Colorado. Fred, let's talk a little bit about the Canyonlands Natural History Association. Can you tell us just a little bit about the history of that organization?
Well, it has really grown over the past few years, and It's one of those organizations you always wish for when you're on a nonprofit board. It's so well run by our team of people that we have some leeway with our funding to be able to really produce something, to create new ideas instead of just survive from year to year. And the stores in most of the national parks in southeastern Utah, which is Arches, Island in the Sky, the Needles. And with our various partners, the Forest Service and the BLM have much fewer outlets, but we do work with the Anasazi Heritage Center and also the Hovenweep Bookstore. So it's a pretty complex operation as far as being able to, you know, to have the right amount of material bought of what people bring. And in the last few years, we've been really struggling, like everyone, with the economics. But the board of directors decided quite a while ago that we would have a reserve fund and try to reach a year reserve, which we thought we were going to have to implement with the sequestration that happened this year. And we estimate that sequestration cost us about $170,000 worth of sales. So that affects how much money comes back to the partners, because the object is to assist them through these stores. So I think what makes us a bit unique is we're so diverse. We're not really hung up on one store, although Arches is, of course, a monster. But we're able to work with these agencies. And the ones that don't have a lot of income or don't have a lot of sales, that's where the Discovery Pool kind of kicks in, because everybody's on an equal footing with that for the partners to generate work that they have huge needs for.
Well, let's talk about some of the projects that are going on right now with the Discovery Pool grant program. You had mentioned that there's some paleontological work that's happening. Can you tell me a little bit more about where that's at, what that's involving?
Well, a lot of it is around Moab and up towards Price, but in the last few years, in the last year, the Bureau of Land Management has hired a full-time paleontologist for the first time. And there's a trackway near Moab. I saw the other day that somebody had already ripped off one of the tracks out of that trackway that we were trying to figure out a way to help them protect.
They're just chipping the rock away with the tracks?
Likely, or diamond saws.
Wow.
I mean, it's huge. And so that project is one of them. But they're finding a dinosaur, and it's one of the sauruses, but the only other location it's been found is in Asia. So some of the uniqueness for this year will be looking at probably before, if you're familiar with Pangaea, when all of the mass land continent split apart, that these dinosaurs were traveling huge distances. And so it's the first time that this is showing up. Several new species in the second grant, coming out of an area that they're just they have time to look at. They're finding new ideals, and a third one, which really is not quite paleontology, but it's a really complex, interesting grant that's occurring in out in the Beef Basin area, which is since the Pleistocene or the Ice Age quit. And it's a study in the rat middens and in the alcoves of pollen and faunal analysis of bones of creatures that have been there, and a lot of dating, carbon 14 dating, to determine the lowering and raising of population numbers since the Pleistocene, to potentially see what the effects of maybe grazing were, good or bad, or what drives certain animals to be more plentiful in different times or less plentiful in others. So that one is got a lot of points of contact for database to really understand and get a handle on both along 10,000 years of historical cultural change to animals in those areas. So we're really looking forward to it, because every time that these are presented, that's our plus, is we get an education every time we get a new grant.
Yeah, that's excellent. How can people find out more? I know you've got some submission deadlines that are coming up in November, which seems like a long way off, but how can people find out more, and what should they know if they're interested in applying for one of these grants?
Well, there's really two things that they need to know. Is one, they need to understand that they're going to have a direct involvement with their land management agency. And the other is that the deadline is November 15th. And again, just like filling out the form, if the grant deadline is missed, then SOL here.
Mm-hmm.
So the other is that we have, and we've really, really progressed with this, because you can go online, just go to the Canyonlands Natural History Association website and click on Discovery Pool. And your entire application is there, as well as the instructions how to fill it out. And yes, it does take time, and of course we're available to answer any questions that anyone might have, or concerns, or what they would like to do with it, because the funding is limited, and we're very concerned this year. What we just survived by the skin of our teeth last year, we're really nervous about what does it mean this year.
Harder and harder to give that money away, I guess.
Harder and harder to get that money.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. Well, Fred, thanks so much for coming in and talking with me this morning about this. It sounds like a great program.
Okay, Tom. We'll see if we did some good today.
All right. That's Fred Blackburn. He's the chair of the Canyonlands Natural History Association. We've been talking this morning about the Discovery Pool Research Grant Program.